Hey, everybody. We are going to have another fun day today. It's going to be a little bit off the beaten path. We're still going to be starting in Genesis, but we're going to jump ahead just a little bit to chapter 3. I'd take a look at some cool things. And then you say, why? Well, JD says why anyway, right, JD?
I sure do. We are going to be at a conference. By the way, this is your last chance, everybody. This is the last time that you're going to hear this. Okay, we are going to be at the Prophecy Conference in Dallas, Texas, and it's this week. Now, this is the Hear the Watchman Dallas 2024 Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. That's April 5th through the 8th. And if you use that promo code that you see on the screen there, if you're watching this in visual form, you just enter the promo code Last Christian, all together, no spaces, Last Christian, and you get $10 off of the live stream, or the, I should say, the recording, right, David? I don't think the live stream, or can I get the live stream too?
You're most likely seeing this on Thursday before the conference, so you can still get there.
Yeah,
in some weird way.
Yeah, and there's no hotel rooms. Yeah, we are sold out on hotel rooms, or they are. We're not. They are sold out on hotel rooms.
That's right. You sleep in the lobby.
Yeah,
just show up.
Yeah, yeah. Well. David's making me sleep on the floor. But anyway.
on the floor in the restaurant, in the back
right?
room.
Anyway, so we hope to see a lot of you. Be sure and stop by the Revelation Radio room there. That's where we'll be for Last Christian. And I've got some really cool giveaways for you guys. And, you know, we just want to meet you. We'll offer you some coffee, some good Christian fellowship.
JD, it's coffee.
Coffee. Okay. I don't know if I can say it like a New Yorker. All right, but I'll
give it a shot. Coffee, and I'm like,
all right, well, I'm not going to waste any more time because we do want to get into the Bible study, and this is our weekly comprehensive Bible study.
News, though, because here's the thing. You talked about the recording, so all the shows will be recorded. So if you can't make it, or even if you're watching this afterwards, which a lot of people will be, you can still go there and you can still buy the recordings of all the conferences. So we're going to give a little bit of a teaser today about what I'll be talking about. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll just start in Genesis 3:15. What do you think?
I'll just put you full strain where you can get going.
No, not 3:15. What did I say? 3:15.
Well, you tell
all
me.
Right, that's enmity between him, which is actually, it's all in the stars, but that's not really where I wanted to go. Okay. How funny is that? No, he talked about the signs in the heavens. Mm-hmm. So in Genesis 1, let's bring that up again.
Okay.
So right here, I'll bring it.
I got it.
Okay. He talked about the signs in the heavens. So it's not often, just once or twice an hour I mess up, so that's pretty cool.
Okay.
All right, 1:14, that's what I'm talking about. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years.
Amen.
Okay, so I'm really going to get deep into this at the conference, and even though it's going to get deep at the conference, it is only scratching the surface of what this really means. So I wanted to start here. Now, we know what the lights in the firmament are of heaven. Mm-hmm. They're the stars and the sun and the moon. Okay? But look at all the things. It says it's going to divide the day from the night.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be for signs.
Right.
Or seasons, for days and years.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like a major timepiece that he's talking about with all of these things. Clearly, it's easy to see the timepiece between day and night.
Right.
Okay. And then what we're going to discover is that there's the full gospel story is written in the stars. And then where all the little, they call them wandering stars, planetos in the Greek. And that's where we get our term planet from. That means like wanderer.
Oh, okay.
So the wandering stars are where we get planets, because they didn't realize they were planets and what they did. They just know all the stars did this, but there's these weird ones that kind of go around like this. And it turns out that these are timepieces as well. So that's, we'll get deep into the story, but that's how the Magi knew when Jesus was going to be born, because Jupiter was in Virgo, the Virgin, and he was a king planet, and then popped out the other end with Leo.
So you're telling me that people way back then were actually looking at the star. Now, you got to keep in mind, people, as I ask this question, there's no streetlights, okay? You don't have all the, you know, all the stuff. So you're able to see the stars when they're out. You see them at night. If you've ever been out in the deep country somewhere, you know what I'm talking about. Stars that you've never seen before pop out. So you're telling me, David, that all these people back then, they were basically reading the stars, right? And being able to put that with scripture.
Yeah, 100%. And it goes back, because every single civilization that has any kind of astronomy like that has the same basic symbols for it, which means it all originated in one spot. And it gets even weirder. The letters that are involved all originate in one spot too, which kind of mimic the stars, which also kind of mimic the tribes of Israel, which puts everything together. Now, let's back up.
Okay.
We go into Ben. There's Adam, and Adam's got to tell the story of creation and what's going to happen to all his offspring, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how does he do that? Well, did he write anything down? Did he have a book? Did he do all that? He created what's called pneumatics. So the picture stories in the sky.
Okay.
All right. And what the word says is that basically God told him what that was, and then he created this. And Josephus writes about him and Seth sitting down and saying, okay, here's the pneumatics. Here's what's written in the stars. So we really need to parse that out, because before Moses, they didn't really have very many writings, document all this stuff and the plan of salvation. So we did have the book of Enoch. Now, Enoch's the one that started to write it down, and he talks a lot about the stars. We won't get into that tonight, but he talks about their progression and how they move. And it's this many days and this many times. It's like really deep on how everything moves, because that was, again, telling the story in the stars.
Okay, I got a question for you real quick. Now, I understand the star thing. Okay, I understand that, and I'm kind of getting my first inkling about this moving star thing. Okay, but how about comets and asteroids and all that kind of stuff? Is that in any way involved in this, or is that completely different?
Yeah, that's the same thing. The word is astare, which in the Greek means to be strewn. It's literally anything that's strewn into the heavens. So there is reason to believe when he says that the dragon was, you know, knocked out of heaven in Revelation 12, and then he was cast down, it says, and a third of the stars went with him. That could easily be an asteroid field you know, a meteorite shower.
Okay.
Now think of that. You got this great red dragon. So here's this red thing flying through the sky. Remember, John's on an island, okay?
Right. Yeah.
And a prison island. They don't have any lights for him. There's no cities for that.
Patmos or what?
Patmos.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's looking at the stars, right?
Yeah.
All of these things John sees are written literally in the stars. This is the story. So that's why I said, I saw the Virgin with the sun at her head and the moon at her feet, okay? And the 12 stars around her head. This is all, he's looking at the heavens, and the heavens are telling him the book of Revelation.
Ah, gotcha. Okay.
You see? People think, it was his vision. Yeah, it was kind of a vision. He was staring at the heavens. Well, here comes this Draco the dragon, which is a giant red thing in the sky, and it comes down. Now, imagine a giant red thing in the sky with a bunch of dust after it. Let's say a huge comet, right? Mm-hmm. And it's got the dust after. There's always rocks that follow it around that are breaking off. In time, well, that comes down, is thrown down to the earth, causes all the chaos that we see. The mountains melt, the seas flee away, and all sorts of chaos. So the earth is just shaken to pieces. That could be a huge meteor.
Oh, yeah.
So all the dust that falls behind them, you see them all burning too.
Mm-hmm.
And they're coming down, and they're burning in the atmosphere, just like a falling star, we call it. today, but their meteor is falling through the sky. So yeah, that could very easily be that. Now I'm not dogmatic about it. If it turns out to be something else, that's fine, but that's what it looks like to me at this time. And again, God put it in place at specific times for a clock. It's a timepiece.
Yeah.
So we see the same type of thing happen with Joshua's long day. Something came by, maybe Earth went by Mars because the orbits used to be closer every once in a while because the orbits are kind of weird.
Right.
And that could have caused the Earth to do this, you know, and stop spinning for a minute. Or it could have flipped the poles. Maybe the poles flipped when it came by. And then we have a 3-hour eclipse and these huge earthquakes at all about the time Jesus was crucified.
Right.
So eclipses last 7-8 minutes, right? Yeah. Well, how'd you get a 3-hour eclipse? There must have been one huge thing that was blocking out the sun.
Yeah.
And it was dark, like it was nighttime, so it must have been really big.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you another question.
Between the earth and the sun.
I got another question for you. And this is something, I think we talked about this on another show, but I want to bring it up again because I think it makes a point here. And that is that supposedly Earth's rotation is slowing down,
everything is in atrophy. Yeah. Everything's slowing down.
Go ahead. Tell them about, I mean, the way I understood you, I can't remember if we talked about it on show or offline. You said that because the rotation is slowing down, by the way, Popular Mechanics is back with this again, and they say that it's alarmingly slowing down, that speeds up speeds up something, I think.
Time,
the way I understand. Yeah,
go ahead. It's all relative, right?
Okay.
It's like success. The more successful you are, the more relatives you have.
There you go.
It's relative. So the faster you go, the slower time goes.
Okay.
So they just correlate.
Okay.
So, yeah, if the Earth is slowing down, that means the speed of light and all that time is growing faster. That's how the days get shortened. He says he'll shorten those days for the elect. And if I'm reading it correctly, something happens to the Earth at that point to hit it and spin it around even faster. So things are slowing down air, but then it says he'll cut off a third of the day and a third of the night. Mm-hmm. And like all of a sudden the days are going. So something must have hit the Earth after maybe it was this dragon comet, who knows, which caused the spin to come up, and it just causes all the chaos that we see in Revelation. So there's a lot of, I wouldn't call it speculation, but conjecture.
Yeah.
You know, it's yet to be seen, but those ideas make sense to me.
Yeah, well, there's always scientists talking about something going to hit the Earth, or, you know, it's going to be a near miss or something like that. I hear that all the time.
Yep. Yep. And, it's like holding a basketball and then you spin it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was like, these things were all set in motion by God to point out the times. Mm-hmm. So at the conference, we're going to be talking about each particular sign that's in there. It's called the zodiac. No, don't get scared. It's not astrology. It's nothing about you. Zodiac means the way, and the Hebrew word is matzarot.
Okay.
And it literally means, you know, this is the way of the stars. Mm-hmm. So we see in Job, he talks about that. He's talking to Job and he's like, do you know how the Pleiades, can you harness them? Can you tighten Orion's belt? I mean, do you know what the line is in the sun? He's talking about the ecliptic plane. Yeah. And Job's like, nope.
Didn't think about that one.
Yeah, go make your own stars.
Right. Which he couldn't do.
Yeah, he probably can't do that. I don't think I can make one either. I've been trying. So the day and night, we know we're back in Genesis 1:14.
Okay.
And not 3:15. So, excuse me. Let them be for signs. So this word signs here is, where'd it go? Yep. Oath.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
So it's a TH kind of a sound, but a hard TH. Oath. Okay.
Okay.
So they're oaths. And that means a signal, an omen, a prodigy, evidence, sign, token, flag, beacon, that kind of a word. Mm-hmm. So all of these stars are going to be telling a story, basically. These are signs. These are beacons. These are flags. It's evidence. All right. So we got that. And for seasons. Well, what is seasons? Okay. The word is moed. We, you know, if you're any kind of a prophecy buff, you've heard the word moedim.
Yes.
Which are the feast days. Mm-hmm. Okay. So moed is a feast day. Moedim is plural. Feast days. Mm-hmm. So it's a fixed time. It's a festival. And a place, and it symbolizes a gathering.
Okay.
Okay. Because it's a feast day, so we're all going to gather together.
Right.
Capiche?
I understand.
All right.
Unbelievable. So
that's what it is. It'll be for oats, okay, which is a sign and a signal for feast days. So there's three things right there: day and night, signs, and. You know, signals for things to happen and for the feast days. So that's how we're going to count the feast days.
Okay, now, real quick, jumping in again here, you're saying seasons. Now, how exactly what do you mean by seasons? Are you talking about, you know, like fall and summer and winter and, you know?
Well, that's what the King James says.
Okay.
Okay, is seasons. But it's really for the appointed feast days.
Okay.
Now, for the same thing, the feast days are there for a reason.
Okay.
They point to the redeeming work of Christ.
Okay.
And how he's come to save us in every feast day. Okay. So you got, you know, the harvest and the wheat and the barley harvest, and we got Passover, the sacrifice of the lamb, which we saw, and then we saw Pentecost, and the next one to come up is the Feast of Trumpets, where we gather.
Right.
Now, Yom Teruah is the day of blowing trumpets. Mm-hmm. They call it Rosh Hashanah nowadays, head of the year. Rosh is head, and Ha is the, and year. Hashanah is the year, head of the year. So they call that their new year in September, typically, which is Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah. Yom is day, and Teruah is blowing. So the day of blowing trumpets is what it implies, but it's also the hidden day, Yom HaKaseh, which
and
is
the hidden of the hidden day, which by the way is the name of David's site. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong here, but I'm thinking one of those hidden days is a rapture, right?
Yeah. Now here's some of the supposition. There's two pretty interesting conjectures out there, because the Pentecost was like basically three and a half feast days. Excuse me. All right. Okay. So there are those who surmise that the rapture will take place on Pentecost, because it's the second half of Pentecost, and then it goes into Yom Teruah, where it's the return of the King and the gathering, and then Sukkot or the Day of Atonement. And then Sukkot, which is the Day of Tabernacles. So he'll come back. There's the gathering. Then there's the repentance, and then there's the dwelling together with him, dwelling in tents, a day of dwelling in tents. So there's three more feast days to be had. So some surmise that because of the language, no one knows a day or the hour. That is indicative of Yom Teruah, because Yom Teruah is the only feast day that has to be dictated by the first slither of the new moon, which can be on either Tishri 1 or Tishri 2. Okay, it could be any one of those.
Explain this Tishri stuff. I'm not familiar.
Tishri is a month. It's the old months, and it's a Jewish month. And Tishri, and it could be on one day or two. And technically, if you really want to do it, the month doesn't start until the new moon. So you don't even know which day it is because it's the new moon. Where the full moon, okay, you would know. You know exactly. Mm-hmm. So all the other feast days are in the full moon. So you know exactly when it is.
Yeah.
But the new moon, you don't know, because you have to wait and watch. And there has to be two witnesses, get that watch and say, oh, there it is, the first slither of the new moon. They go to the priest, and then they declare it the new day, and no one knows the day or the hour.
Okay. So this isn't the first time God's come up with this situation where no one knows the day or the hour. This is
correct. Okay. They would have all known. They're like, okay. That's Yom Teruah. I get it. It's like if I said, hey, when you hear sleigh bells ringing, that's when I'll be back.
Yeah. So
you know it was Christmas.
again, everything, it seems to me like, maybe I'm wrong, but it seems to me like that everything in the Bible is sort of redundant. And please understand, I'm not being at all critical in any way, shape, or form.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. It's what I'm saying is that God backs up everything you put in the Bible. He backs it up at least once, if not several times, throughout text, right?
Yep. And it was all written in the stars long before that.
That's just awesome. Okay. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's really wild. And there's some cool things. I mean, let me jump into this because we're running low on this time, but this is neat. So in, Exodus 32:32, it says, now, if you will forgive their sin, blot me out, I pray, thy book. So it talks about thy book, which you have written. So Moses, like, write me out of the book. So there was a book written. Moses didn't write the book yet. So what's he talking about? Now, Psalm 56:8 says, thou tellest of my wandering, put my tears in a bottle. Are they not in thy book? What book? Okay. All right. Yeah. He's got a book. Well, the book is what he wrote in the stars,
because they hadn't written the book yet. I mean, the Bible was not written at this point in time. They were writing it as they're going along. Yeah. Okay.
And there's this book. What book?
Right.
Psalm 139:16 says, thine eyes did see my substance being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written. That's interesting. Yeah. So herein we see the idea of this book that was written. And then we also see my members were written. So what happened is Babylon comes along and they're like, hey, let's steal this for ourselves. I want to find out what's written in the stars about me. Okay. Instead of honoring God, they kind of did the same thing as before, just like honoring God with the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. Okay. So no, I want to know, I want to be like God. Yeah. So we take this kind of a thing where, yeah, God wrote your history in the stars and in his book before the beginning of the world.
Okay. Yeah.
But, you know, it's not about you. It's about his glory and what he is doing in your life. And that's where we misconstrue. Oh, well, let me, praise the Lord and send me the money kind of thing. So, and that's what Babylon did when it says, Babel, they built a tower unto the heavens.
Yeah.
It doesn't really say that. It says built a tower like unto the heavenlies.
Which means
they were trying to mimic the stars and figure out what's going to happen in their life without giving God the glory.
Yeah. We addressed a little bit of that, I think, in a previous show. And I had always been under the impression that they were trying to build a tower all the way into the heavens, not knowing about space and not knowing about, all the stuff that we know about now scientifically. They just figured, they can build it and they'll build it all the way up into heaven and we're good. And that is not really the case, right? I mean, there was more to it than just building a tower hoping to get to the heavens.
Exactly. And what's really going to blow your mind, it was about Joseph and the pyramids lining up with Orion's belt and the Sphinx being the head of the woman, which starts in Virgo, and then a body of a lion, which ends in Leo, with all this story in the heavens. And that was 99.9% Joseph's doing over there. But we'll talk about that at another time. And that's kind of documented history too, because in the other books, even like Jasher, Benjamin came by and he's like, Joseph's like, hey, Ben, you know about the stars and stuff? Because at this point, Ben didn't know it was his brother yet. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, yeah, my dad taught me. It's cool. He's like, oh, cool. So check this out. And he told him all about these stars, which we talk about, which are the signs and seasons, the days and the years. But in Deuteronomy 33:26, it says there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun. Well, Jeshurun is just like a nickname for Israel. Oh, okay. So let's do that. There's none like unto the God of Israel, who rides upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency in the sky. And we just think, oh, okay, it's just riding around in the sky. No, it's literally the skies as he goes around tell the story of the Redeemer and his excellence.
Well, I'm looking at the New King James Version, David, And it, it's beginning there in 26. It said, there is no one like the God of Jeshurun who rides the heavens to help you and his excellency on the clouds. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemies from before you and will say, destroy. I probably took that a little bit too far, but anyway, that's
no, that's good.
Okay.
Because that's precisely what we're going to scratch the surface on in the conference is how all of these, what we call constellations, are, you know, when we unwind them, take some of the Greek influence out of them and bring them back to what they, you know, really were and really mean, you'll see the story was written in the stars and how it just tells a story of redemption of who he was. And there's like basically three books of four constellations. There's book one, book two, book three. And then there's each constellation has three decans on it, decans. Mm-hmm. And so you have like, you know, Virgo would have Bootes, Coma, and Centaurus, because they're all in there and they're all telling the story about the Virgin having the desired son and who he's going to become. And he's dual natured with the centaur. It's really wild.
Yeah. All right. Well, we do want to remind everybody that, again, this is the last time, the last show that we're going to be able to talk about it, which is the conference coming up. We want you to use that promo code LASTCHRISTIAN, not for us, but for you, because you're going to get a $10 discount off of the recording that you can get. Of course, you can still go to the conference if you want. The hotel rooms are sold out at the hotel we're at, but that doesn't mean you can't get one somewhere else. This is the Hear the Watchman Dallas 2024 Prophetic Signs in the Heavenlies. That's April 5th through the 8th. And just go to register at hearthewatchman.com. That's all together now. Hearthewatchmen.com. Register at hearthewatchmen.com, and you can get your $10 discount simply by putting in the promo code LASTCHRISTIAN. David is one of the featured speakers there. And David, go ahead and take us out of the first half.
Okay. Well, just remember, even if you missed it and you're watching this afterwards, you can get the recordings. So I would highly recommend you do this. And they are prophetic signs in the heavenlies. So that day is coming quickly where the Lord will return with a trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first with incorruptible bodies, and we will likewise be changed. Amen. And then we'll go to meet Jesus in the air. And we ask that you would come with us.
Yes.
So, stay tuned. We will be back with more in the second half of this. We're going to talk about Psalm 19 and how the heavens declare his glory. Stick around. We'll be back right after this.
Julia Chapman. U.S. President Joe Biden is expected to speak to Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu following the killing of seven aid workers in Gaza. Nick Harper sends this report from Washington.
U.S. President Joe Biden is facing increased criticism over the discrepancy between his words and actions. We've seen plenty of outrage from the president over the killing of these seven aid workers, but at the same time, the Biden administration making it clear there will be no change in U.S. policy when it comes to Israel, and that Israel still has the unwavering support of Washington. During this phone call, President Biden is likely to express the outrage that he has over the last few days, but also express that support. And part of that support is the Biden administration pushing Congress to try and approve the sale, an $18 billion sale, of F-15 fighter jets to Israel. I'm Nick Harper in Washington.
Russia carried out drone strikes against the Ukrainian city of Kharkiv on Thursday morning. At least four people have been killed and 12 were injured as a result of the attacks. Megumi Lim reports from Kyiv.
Among the four people who were killed, one was a civilian and three were emergency workers carrying out rescue work in response to an earlier Russian attack. 12 people have been injured, including an emergency service worker, a policeman, and a nurse. Russian drones first struck the city at around 1 a.m. local time, damaging several homes. The second strike came at 1:55 a.m. Several fire trucks and ambulances were also damaged in the attacks. Ukraine's armed forces said air defense systems downed 11 out of 20 Shahid-type drones launched by Russia overnight. Megumi Lim in Kyiv.
Authorities in Taiwan are working to rescue some 660 people who remain missing after a 7.4 magnitude earthquake. Patrick Falk reports from Hualien City, one of the worst affected areas.
Hundreds of those are in contact with authorities but are stranded. A further 42, according to reports, are unaccounted for and missing at the moment. So that suggests that the number of casualties and the death toll could still rise. One of the big stories today, though, is the rescue efforts where a helicopter airlifted trapped miners at a rock quarry. Authorities are concerned still about the likelihood of aftershocks, and one of the things authorities are worried about in particular are rock falls and landslides. And this is Qingming Festival here in Taiwan today, tomb sweeping festival, and authorities are telling people not to go to mountainous areas to pay their respects to ancestors and loved ones and pose a risk to themselves.
From bureaus worldwide, this is FSN.
Hey everybody, like we promised, we're back, and apparently the Lord is still willing, because we're still here.
Amen.
So, JD, I wanted to get into Psalm 19 right now, and then we're going to do some corroborating verses on that. Okay. What do you think?
I'm up for it. Go ahead.
Okay. Now, I want to do this. Now, there's basically two halves. Just like all Jewish literature, there are juxtapositions of thoughts.
Okay.
So in English, we have rhyme, you know, and that makes up our poetry. We try and find words that rhyme, but God knew that that doesn't transpose well when you're going into hundreds of languages. So it's juxtaposition of thoughts, concepts, and then reiterating concepts.
Okay.
That being said, Psalm 119, you want to read 1 through 6? You have it up? You want me to read it?
I'm getting there. Give me a second.
Okay.
I'll have it. 119.
So,
okay, where do you want me to start now?
1 through 6.
1 through 6. Okay. Make sure I got this right. Psalm 119.
Psalm 19.
Psalm 19. Okay, I thought you said 119. That's the reason.
Oh, you're 100 psalms away.
I'm way off beat there.
So I'm going to read Luke while you're there, but this is cool.
Okay.
And then you get Psalm 19.
Yeah,
so it said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel," in Luke 1:68.
Okay.
"For he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." Wait, okay, he rose up a horn of salvation in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began.
Okay.
Well, what prophets were there when the world began?
Well, that's an excellent question that I don't have an answer for.
Because there weren't none, okay? Remember,
but he just knew they were going to be there.
The stars.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Okay.
And the stars are for the signs and the seasons and the days and the years. And so the Moedim. So this is the holy prophets he's talking about since the world began, is telling the story in the stars.
But,
and everybody knew this back then. We've lost it since because.
Okay. I've got to ask. Okay. The reason it's worded that way is because he knew that these prophets were coming at some point. Right.
Well, no, these are the prophets.
I mean, I'm confused.
The stars
I'm
are
confused.
The prophets.
Oh.
The okay. stars
for,
are the
for
prophets.
For everybody that's watching online, you just saw me hit myself in the head because I should have got that. Okay. I have Psalm up now. You want it?
Yeah. Read 1 through 6.
Okay. "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has sent a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat."
Is that crazy or what?
Wow.
Now, there's nothing hidden from the, that's the heat of the sun, basically, by implication.
Yeah, I was going to – that's the only part of it that I didn't understand was the heat part. And I think you just explained
nothing
that.
Hid from the heat thereof. The word is chama, and it means heat, but it's implying that it's the sun.
Okay.
So what it's telling you is the circuit and what we call the ecliptic, okay, is basically all the constellations that run through the line of the sun in the sky.
Okay.
And that's how we deal with astronomy today. That's how we deal with the constellations. When, you know, anyone who knows astronomy knows the ecliptic. That's what he's talking about here in verse 6, is going forth is from the end of heaven in a circuit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. In other words, it just keeps going. The circuit keeps going.
Well, round, verse round, 5 round, jumped out at me, David. Verse 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check that out. The bridegroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Coming out of his chamber, telling the story of Jesus coming to get his bride.
Amen. So
now, we've been taught that Gemini is twins. It's not. It's a marriage couple.
Okay.
So when we correct these things, you'll understand it. And you'll see the marriage of the Lamb here. And that's what he's talking about, the bridegroom coming out and the associated constellations with the bridegroom. It's wild.
Yeah.
Okay. Their line is through all the earth. In other words, they're understanding. We're backing up through the verses here, guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the line, the word line there, basically is like the rim. So, yeah.
Well,
in other words, what you see, we would call it the grid, an azimuthal grid or an equatorial grid. You can see the line, and they're in a line, and they follow the line.
Okay,
and now, it's heard through all the earth.
Verse 6, mm-hmm. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from the heat. But what interested me here is the circuit part and the one end of heaven to the other, and what goes through my mind there, I believe it's Matthew 24, that's got the, collecting from one end of heaven to the other or something like that. Mm-hmm. All do you remember what I'm... You know what I'm talking about? Is this a reference in any way, shape, or form to that?
Well, it's the same thought process. It's an extremity, basically the extremities, as far as you can go.
Okay.
Okay.
I got you.
Like as far as the east is from the west, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. I got you.
So their line has gone out. Now this is telling too in verse 4, the line has gone out through all the earth and their word to the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he set a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, this is a house for the sun. He's talking about the heat thereof. He's talking about the ecliptic line. And this goes out to all the earth to the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That is why every civilization has the stories. Now they've bastardized the stories.
Right.
But this is where they came from. The initial story came from here, and everyone on the globe knew what the story was.
Yeah.
Now, and we go into verse 3, there is no speech or no language where their voice is not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Again, every single language, every single voice
right.
knows this stuff. How is that possible if we had evolution? It's not. You know, people right? made up stuff. They would have made up different things. They would have made up different constellations. Oh, I think that one is, that's Gretz Grufunkistan over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's Palestine. Oh, yeah. Oh, look at this over here. That's America. No, they would have made up their own stuff. Everybody's got the same stories.
Right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The same basic constellations is what we see. They twist it and they bend it, but it's still the same from the beginning. And day unto day uttereth speech.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So they're talking. So if it's a book, it's actually talking.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And it's Omer. So it's uttering a promise is really what it says.
Okay.
So day unto day, it utters the promise.
Mm-hmm.
The word is Omer. And night unto night shows knowledge. So this is really cool. So this is where I wanted to start in verse 1. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that word is Sephar.
So far, okay.
Yeah, and it's a somed, and then a pay, and then a resh. Okay, so it's so far. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's a pay. I can't see it. Anyway, that it's so far, and that's where we get the word sefer
mm-hmm.
from the Bible.
Okay.
Okay, et Et Sefer. It means the book, the writing, the chronicles, mm-hmm. the recounting, the enumerating. In other words, this is a book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's to inscribe. That's literally what it means.
Really, what caught my attention, and again, I'm catching up with you because, you know, I didn't know anything about the star stuff until we started talking about this thing. But it's very, I mean, it's perfectly clear in verse one, whenever you begin to understand it, it's perfectly clear there. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. Nothing is more clear than that, even for Amen. Somebody that doesn't understand stars until today or whatever. Yeah. Okay.
Well, you know, it's cool. We just read before, hey, are my members written in your book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
Well, that's what this word means here. The heavens declare. The heavens are inscribing. The heavens inscribed, wrote a book, basically.
I'm gonna stop saying I've never been to seminary because I'm attending one every week. Go ahead, David.
And the firmament, so we all know what the firmament is, mm-hmm. shows his handiwork.
All right.
So that word there, come back. Got to look it up. So the word showeth is explain.
Okay.
It's not coming up on here, but I know what it means.
Right.
So it's nagad, and it means to explain. So the firmament explains his handiwork or his glory.
Uh-huh,
okay.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Now, what is the glory of God? What is his handiwork? Is his handiwork really how he created trillions of stars?
No.
Is his handiwork how he made the earth and dirt and all that stuff?
It's all part of it, but we're it, right?
The redemption of mankind.
There you okay? go. Yeah.
Because how often does he talk about creation?
Only here. I mean, only as far as I can remember. Genesis, well, I mean, there's some mention, but it's not a highlighted.
Yeah, there's little mentions here and there.
Right.
Genesis says, okay, this is how he did it, time and space. Okay, mm-hmm. great, we created a continuum, this is how it is. He did it in 6 days.
Mm-hmm.
And how much did it cost him? He spoke a few words.
Yeah.
Spoke a few words, created all the glory that we see now. He's like, oh, I think I'll have a galaxy over here and mm-hmm. one over here.
Yeah.
You know, oh, by the way, 3 billion more galaxies.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But what did it cost him to redeem mankind from his sinfulness?
The death of his only son, Jesus Christ, who rose again in order to save us from our sins.
Amen. That is what the heavens are declaring. They're explaining Amen. His glory, his handiwork
Amen.
In a book.
Yes. Amen.
That's what this is all about. So that is extremely powerful. Excuse me while I get emotional here.
Yes. Every time I talk about my moments of salvation, just to let you know, because it's never failed. If I tell the story of my salvation, how it happened, what the motivating thing was, I'll break down every time. It's not planned. It's not something, you know, I just do. I break down every time. I give my testimony, a full testimony. I break down every time because I realize exactly what all it means. And I realize how close I came many times in life to not having that opportunity.
Hmm. And in his mercy, he let you live long enough to receive him.
Amen.
Amen. So I want to touch on Job.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a little story.
Okay.
Many, many years ago, when I was a teenager, I had a friend who was a bit older at the time. He's like 30. But he was on Angel Dust. Remember Angel Dust?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Well, he had a problem with that, but he had just recently got saved. Mm-hmm. He looked like Phil Collins. Okay. And he got saved, and he's like, oh, praise God, praise God. But the angel just still had an effect on him. So he's like, I'm going to pray, and God's going to help me find a job.
Mm.
Sure enough, he prays and says, Eli just tells him to open the book, and then he opens up to the book of Job. He says, I found a job. And he's telling me, I read the whole book. It didn't tell me anything about a job.
That's beautiful.
Well, at least you read it. What right? Did you learn from it?
I wouldn't have wanted to be Job. Just between me and you, I wouldn't have wanted to be him.
What'd I do? So here's like, oh, you think you're so smart? So we're in Job 38, and it's not about a job, folks.
Okay.
So Job thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, and then here comes God.
Yep.
And God says in 38:31, can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades? Oh, well, they knew about the Pleiades back then. And it was the same as we have today. Now, Job, by all scholarly recommendations, is written somewhere around the time of Abraham, not too far after we got off the boat.
Okay.
So that's the oldest book in the Bible, so they surmise, and I kind of agree with that. Way before Moses wrote his books, it's older, and it's in there. And here he is talking about all the Matzaroth in there. It says, or can you loose the bands of Orion? Okay. Now, Orion's got the belt, right? That's what he's talking about, Dick. And you're going to go up, you're going to loosen the belt on Orion.
That's exactly what it says in the New King James. It says, or loose the belt of Orion.
Yep.
Yeah.
So how are you going to do that? And Orion, he's not the Irish constellation either.
Okay.
Orion.
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay. Get it? Orion.
Yeah, okay. Continue, all right. David.
Can you bring forth the Matzaroth in its season, which is the zodiac, which means the way? Can you, in other words, he's talking here to Job way back then. Can you bring forth this stuff? Like, you're going to bring Virgo in? The Virgo? Yeah. You're going to bring, you know, Libra? You're going to do it?
There's the great bear and its cubs coming up.
Yeah. Well, that's a different word, too. We got to look into that. But we're going to learn that at the conference as well. Or you guide Arcturus with his sons? And can you know the ordinances of heaven and set the dominion thereof? Now, Arcturus is one of the older names for I'll try and say it later. But basically, the sons are the followers, and the bears aren't really bears. What happened is the word was similar back then, and it was really sheepfolds, if you can believe that. Because you see the deeper, it's kind of like a cage, if you would. There's a big one and a little one. It's the lesser fold and the greater fold. All right, but the word dove sounds like one of them sounds like a bear, where the other one is, is the sheepfold. But they're really two sheepfolds that are up there. One is open towards heaven, and the other one is open towards earth. And these are some of the things we start to see in the Matzaroth as well, is two different people groups. We see it in Pisces, okay? There's two there. We see it in Gemini, two different people groups, so the marriage. We see it a lot of different things that have two in it, in the greater fold and the lesser fold. And Jesus talks about that. You know, I have sheep of another fold. So it's literally, and one towards the heaven and one towards the earth, ties right in with what he said to Abraham. Hey, can you number the stars, Abraham?
Yeah.
Can you count the sand on the sea?
Yeah.
Well, why do you give two different things? Well, one's the sand of the sea. It's earthly seed that he has. Another one's a heavenly seed.
Oh,
and
we okay.
are sons of Abraham as the bride of Christ.
Oh, I'd never thought of that. Okay.
Yeah. So now we will rule in the heavenlies with Christ.
Right.
But Israel will rule on the earth with Christ during the millennium.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Cool. So there's two different destinies. Okay. So we really, really got to be careful with our elder brother here, whether we're going to disparage Israel or not.
Right.
Yeah. They're apostate. And that's what he said. But Zechariah said they will come back and they will turn to him. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need to pray for that. But we see mm-hmm. it now in the stars. The greater fold and the lesser fold, one's pointing towards the heavenlies, one's pointing towards the earth. Mm-hmm. So we start mm-hmm. to see this story pan out too. So if you're saying, oh, the rapture just happens at the end, there's only one resurrection. No, there's two different people groups, two different destinies, two different missions. Right. Okay, and you need to understand that to know that the church is not here for the 7-year tribulation, because Amen. It is a time appointed unto Israel.
Amen. Now, David, for a long, long time, I believed that Matthew 24 was all about the rapture of the church. And since we have begun these weekly study, my opinion is completely different than it used to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, completely different. And so, you know, I would suggest to people to continue to watch David and the presentations here, because a lot of the stuff that you have been told or taught, maybe even in a church, isn't necessarily correct. You want to kind of, I mean, he's got the original stuff here. So, you know, I'm kind of going with what he's talking about. I just thought I'd throw that in there, David. Go ahead.
Yep. So we start to see a bigger picture when we unwind a lot of the Matzaroth, when we start to see, hey, this was God putting them there for signs and seasons and oaths mm-hmm. and feast days and everything else. He literally lists everything out mm-hmm. because it's for everything. Yeah. This is the time of year you have this feast and you gather together. This mm-hmm. is the clock. So now these wandering stars are, you know, like I could see it goes around. Okay, there's day one, there's day two, but then there's, you know, 12 o'clock on Monday, 12 o'clock on Tuesday, mm-hmm. 12 o'clock on Wednesday.
Right.
So the little ones are like little, but his timepieces are so precise that we have nowhere near enough time to get into each of the constellations, all of the stars within the constellations in order of their brightness tell the story of that constellation.
That's just incredible.
Yeah. And this was given by God to our forefathers mm-hmm. to tell this story throughout creation. And that's how you knew the story. Okay, start with the brightest one. Mm-hmm. And it goes bing, 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 all the way down. Start with Virgo. She's got the semach, which is the branch, and she's got the seed. Mm-hmm. So she's got the branch and the seed, which she's about to give birth to, which mm-hmm. is the Christ. The desired right. child we see mm-hmm. in the other constellation of Coma, and then all those stars are bright. Mm-hmm. And then you see in the, Cancer is not really a crab, and it means like a gathering, you know, one who gathers. Con, sor mm-hmm. is two different words, but somehow we got a crab in there, but it's not a crab. Oh. It's a gathering, and it kind of like more like a sheepfold. And right in the middle of it, there's this, what they call the beehive. Oh. All right. There's okay. so many stars they can't count them. Well, that's because it's his fault.
I gotcha. Okay.
Start to unwrap all this stuff. It's just amazing what he put in the stars. And he put them there on purpose to yes. tell the story. Oh, let me put a bunch of stars over here, and that'll tell about the multitude from every race, language, nation, and tongue.
Wow. That's incredible stuff. I mean, I had never once equated the stars with, you know, the Bible. Never once in my mind did that come. But now it makes perfect sense. I mean, if they didn't have anything to read back then, and it hadn't been written yet, well, it had to be somewhere in order for him to be able to communicate with those that came after Adam and Eve, right? So, yeah, it makes perfect sense. That's all I can say about this. Makes perfect sense.
It's wild. And how many times do we quote from Habakkuk?
From a who?
Habakkuk.
Habakkuk. Well, I don't know. Yeah. You tell me.
Well, in Habakkuk 2:14 is pretty funny. So you look for Habakkuk. I'm going to read Hebrews 1:10.
Okay.
And it says, "And thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands."
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Amen. So that's Hebrews 1:10.
Amen.
All right, did you find Habakkuk yet?
I did. Which one do you want me to go to?
2:14.
2:14? Okay. And according to the New King James, it is, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea.
Yeah, I need to go on. The story is just going to go over all over there.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Okay.
We already, now, we read Psalm 148, 1 through 6, but I think you should read it again because it'll have more meaning now.
148?
Psalm 148.
Okay.
1 through 6.
1 through 6. Hold on. I'll get there in a minute. Got a 148. Scrolling.
Okay.
Okay. I got there. Okay. Praise, nice. For the, praise to the Lord from creation. 148 what?
1 through 6.
1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Yes, that is powerful, David. Very powerful.
It's like, what are you going to do? Change the stars around? He wrote it up there for a reason.
Right.
Because they're not going to move.
Right, and exactly. You can't move
them. That's what he's talking to Job about. You're going to move the stars? You're going to unloosen Orion's belt? Come on. Since I wrote this book, dude.
Yeah. Well, you know, I said I wouldn't want to be Job, and you know, one of the reasons is that is, you know, God didn't come down and say, you're just wrong, you're bad, bop, pop. Instead, he said, can you do this? Can you do that? Did you know about that? Can you do this? Can you do this over here? And I'm sure that as he's talking, that Job is just, you know, he's going down, 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 further and further, shrinking into the ground. That's that's how I imagine it anyway.
He's like, well, no. But yeah, it's just now, just like the contract, I see the contract was written in the stars from the foundation of the earth. Okay.
Amen.
It's in his book. And that book, that's what it means. It's a scroll. Mm-hmm. And there was a literal contract. Here, this is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's written.
Yeah.
So let it be written. So let it be done. Right.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Okay. Well, we're coming down
now
here
we're
to
seeing everything.
Yeah, we're coming down to the end of the show for today. And David, remind him one last time. Be the last time we ever get to do this. Last time about the conference coming up this weekend.
Yeah. It's hearthewatchmen.com. Hearthewatchmen.com. Go there. You have about 30 seconds to buy a ticket to get into the conference.
Right.
You 100% can use the term Last Christian and get $10 off all the videos, which you get to keep forever. It's not just access for a certain period of time. They're yours until Jesus comes back.
Amen.
So that's a really good deal because there's going to be a lot of good stuff that we're going to learn there, including the one on the Matzaroth.
Yeah, and there's a ton of good speakers there. There'll also be a few other people there that will be making some really short presentations that I know about. So, you know, there's going to be something for everybody. You know, and if you can't get in, get the video is all I can tell you because you're going to learn a lot. And, of course, we'll be back next week right here for the weekly comprehensive Bible study with Bible prophecy teacher and scholar, Mr. David Paxton. I always learn something from you, David. If nobody else does, I do. Like I said, you know, I can't say I haven't been to seminary anymore because I'm taking your class right now. So you're going to have to figure out how much I owe you at the end of all this stuff. But
cup of coffee.
Yeah. Anyway, we appreciate you all hanging in there with us, and we look forward to seeing you. Remember, we got one more show this week, but it'll be from the conference. Until then, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, can potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.